pray about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guest in just a moment. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Philippians 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore you, Odia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help those women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift your word is to us every day. Thank you for the privilege, the honor, the blessing it is for us to be able to open your word and to draw on the grace, the strength, the encouragement, the vision, the peace that comes from simply spending time with you one-on-one in your word. Lord, help us to grow in our knowledge of the need for us to be in your word daily, and help us to make it our goal daily to encourage each other, to get into your word, to draw on that blessing, that encouragement, that strength. And Lord, help us to teach that to our children. Help us to, by your grace, to help drill it in our children that your word is the key to everything. And help us to fill our lives with your word and your spirit. We thank you. We praise you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to talk about the need for us to reach out to our servicemen and women today. Lord, bless us. Help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to make that a high priority in the body of Christ. We thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're grateful to have with us in studio today, Eric Horner, of the director of Eric Horner Ministries. Eric, how are you today?
I am blessed and highly favored. What a great day we're having.
It's good to have you here. And, of course, when you're here, we kind of work it kind of hard going from one studio to the next.
That's all right. I'll take it.
I appreciate you. But you're going to be with us in this first segment, so we're grateful to have you in for this time.
Thank you.
As we start off, I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about Operation Tank Full of Love and what that wonderful outreach is that you, after you tell us some more about your ministry specifically.
Okay. All right. We've been in full-time music ministry now for, this is our fourth, going into our 14th year. Okay. And the Lord opened a door for us back in the fall of 2005 to go and minister to the needs of our men and women who serve in the military. He's allowed me to do concerts and sing for roughly in the ballpark of 300,000 of them so far. And a few years ago, we were trying to think of ways that we could minister to them that didn't revolve around a concert, that didn't revolve around me. It's never about me. But we didn't, you know what I'm saying. We wanted to do something that was just of great help to the military family. And we, my hometown is up in Kentucky, and we live in Nashville, Tennessee. Right in between my hometown and Nashville is a place called Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And it's probably 45 minutes to an hour's drive from my house. And so we kind of think of those guys and gals as our home team. So when we want to reach out, that's where we reach out. And at the exit that you go to Fort Campbell, there's a couple of truck stops, and we always stop there with the bus to fuel up. And about 6 years ago now, I did that. I stepped off the bus, and as I looked across the parking lot at the truck stop, there, this just down from the front gate of mm-hmm. Fort Campbell, there were probably eight soldiers or better out there getting their gas. And just had a little thought go through my head. I thought, I wish I could just go pay for all their gas and just let mm-hmm. that be my way of saying thank you.
It's a Holy Spirit moment.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, he planted that seed, and by that night I knew what to call it. Mm-hmm. Operation Tankful of Love. Mm-hmm. And what we do, basically, we invite churches within, I guess, 100-mile radius to come and help us take over the truck stop for an entire day. Mm-hmm. And I say 100-mile radius. We've got people that come from Miami, Florida, from North Carolina, from South Texas. They get wind of what we're doing, and they want to come be a part of it. They drive all that way. And we meet the soldiers at the gas pumps. We give them, there's a certain amount the government allows us to give them of free gas. Mm-hmm. But we give them that. We offer to pray for them. And it's just, there's a lot of ministry that takes place there. And it's not really about the free gas at all, although that is helpful mm-hmm. to the military family. It's about ministering to their hearts. And we've just seen God work in wonderful ways as he draws some of these soldiers, closer to himself through the efforts of our volunteers there. And so that's what it's about in a nutshell. It's about being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who serve.
Mm. You know, something neat to Brother Eric about the idea of just giving away a gift, really most any gift. When you give, it makes people think of God. And it's pretty mm-hmm. normal that when you give something to somebody, they often will say, God bless you, mm-hmm. whether they're believers or not.
Right.
But it makes them think about the goodness of God, the grace of God. So it's a wonderful witness amongst other things. And everybody likes to receive. You know, everybody likes free. Even rich people like free.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a blessing that, but on top of that, again, the ministry that happens, like you say, is such a special part of doing that kind of outreach too. I want to share with our listeners ways that you can get involved with Eric Horner Ministries in doing this. You can help AFR and Eric Horner Ministries reach out to those who are defending our freedom. On September 17th, Operation Tank Full of Love will bless soldiers serving at Fort Campbell, as Eric just mentioned, with free gas for their vehicles. You can help by if simply call, and you can make a contribution. You can donate online or call this number, 1-877-968-3742. Again, call 1-877-968-3742, or you can just simply go to tankfulloflove.com. Again, those are two different ways whereby you can make a contribution. Again, tankfulloflove.com, or call 1-877-968-3742. A great way for the body of Christ to get involved with this great outreach. Well, Eric, tell our listeners a little bit more about what you do and just some of the outreach that you're involved with on an ongoing basis with the soldiers.
We have a lot of different opportunities. Sometimes they ask us to come and do what we call a victory concert. It's say we have a group of soldiers who are just about to graduate basic training. Mm-hmm. And I have what they call a command audience. They know I'm a preacher, mm-hmm. and they watch me pretty close. They don't allow me to preach there mm-hmm. because if I've done my job, they know that God loves them. I don't have to tell them that.
Mm-hmm.
And we go and encourage them in their service. I have a whole concert of songs that are developed just to remind them of what they've been through. When they come to our concert, we have a big 20-foot screen behind us, mm-hmm. and they see basically themselves mm-hmm. on the screen and what they've just been through. And we try to, let them know just how important their job is and instill that resolve in them to just be solid, just to be the very best soldiers they can be. And to go out and be grateful mm-hmm. for all God's given them and take good care of this land that we've all been given. We also get to do chapel services for them. That's my favorite thing. But you want to talk mm-hmm. about some soldiers that show up ready to worship when they're going through basic training? Mm-hmm. Hey, that's an hour away from the drill sergeant. They are ready to get in there mm-hmm. and worship. And it's just a sweet, sweet time.
That's
when we
good.
Get in there and just lift up the name of the Lord and pray for them. We take a team in there of volunteers that are just simply there to just minister to their needs. If they need somebody to listen to them, if they need somebody to pray. It's just, It's the most humbling thing. It boggles my mind when I start doing the math and figuring out just about how many soldiers we've been put in front of. It's just only God can do that. And what a privilege it is to have that opportunity.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to listen to one of the songs that you minister. Tell us the name of the song again.
This is the very first song that opened the door for all of our military ministry. And I wrote it in 2005, mm-hmm. and we released it to radio. And it began to catch on with the military. I wrote this song. I simply wanted everyone that heard it to be reminded to pray for those who defend your freedom. That mm-hmm. simple. It's a little story song. It's called God Bless My Soldier Too.
Amen. We're going to listen to it now then.
She was too young to understand why her daddy was leaving for a faraway land. All she knew about war is what she saw on TV. Soldiers were dying, and she was scared as could be. So the day that he left, she hugged him real tight, said, "I'll say this prayer for you every night. God bless mommy, my doggy, and me. Bless everyone in my family. God bless our country and whatever you do. God bless my soldier too." Most every day she sent letters from home to tell him she missed him and how much she'd grown. She'd say she was proud of her G.I. Joe. Well, that wasn't his name, but she knew he would know. Then she'd write down the words to her daily prayer to make sure he knew that she and God cared. God bless mommy, my doggy, and me. Bless everyone in my family. God bless our country and whatever you do. God bless my soldier too. Will the days turn to months and the months to a year? Oh, she prayed and she prayed, so sweet and sincere. And when Daddy called to say, "I'm coming home," she whispered these words to him through the phone.
God bless mommy, my doggy, and me. Bless everyone in my family. Love you, Daddy.
Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening. Shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening. Encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Can you imagine what the Pharisees thought after they learned of Saul's Damascus Road experience? Saul had been to the Sanhedrin and gotten permission to kill anybody that looked like they could have been Christian. And now he's had this life-changing experience on the Damascus Road that in an essence and an instant changed him from a killer to an apostle. We too are changed when we come in contact with the Lord. A true encounter, a true experience. You can imagine, and many a picture has depicted, the people's reaction to Paul after his conversion. He didn't act the same and he didn't talk the same. So I have a question for you. Can anyone tell that you've had an encounter with the Lord? It's not about how big your Bible is. It's not about if you can quote every scripture from the Bible and give its reference. It's all about your life change and how you live. Thank him today for your transformation. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Boycotts. They're effective, communicating to our society that something has gone terribly wrong. Here's Ed Vitagliano, Executive Vice President of the American Family Association.
Before Target changed its policy, it had men's rooms for men, women's rooms for women. And you ask the question, why? Why did Target have a policy of gender-specific bathrooms before it changed? Well, it's because everybody in every civilized country of the world understands that men and women, generally speaking, are uncomfortable with a stranger of the opposite sex when they're in the bathroom or they're changing their clothes. That's why these rooms were separate to begin with. So what's changed? People still feel the same way. That's why this policy is misguided.
Sign the Boycott Target Pledge. It's over 1 million strong. It's at afa.net.
Music of B.B. Winans, the song, Oh Happy Day. We're grateful to have with us in studio Eric Horner, and Eric's going to have to slip out in just a couple minutes, though. But Eric, again, we appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Would you share, before you go, share with our listeners some specific ways the church really needs to be praying for those in the military?
Oh, absolutely. There are many ways that we could be praying for them, but two of the major ones, first, just for that protection, for God's hand of protection over them. You've been hearing a lot about ISIS, and that is just like a cancer, and it's growing. And our young people are going to have to face that. I look out into that sea of faces when we minister to them, and I just wonder how many are going to go over to face that enemy, and how many are not going to come back. So pray specifically for their protection as they go out and take care of the business of America. And also pray for the military family. I can't think of a more stressful life than to live that military life. And you face deployments of sometimes 12 and even 18 months apart, and the spouse is left at home to take care of everything and the children. And it is such military marriages are falling apart at just such an alarming rate. And just pray that God would just fortify those marriages, and that he would be the centerpiece of those marriages that will bind them together, because there's a real need there. So those are the two main things that I would suggest to the church.
Okay. Would you just say a quick prayer before you slip out?
I'd be honored. Thank you. Father God, we just thank you for those, that 1%, Father, that you have called out, Jesus. Lord, to go and to face our enemies, Lord, to take care of our freedom. And remind us, Lord, daily what a precious gift that is. And, Father, that we would support those that you've called out to go and take care of that precious gift. And yes. So, Father, just we pray for that hedge of protection around each and every man and woman who serves. Father, no matter where they're over in the Middle East, Father, whether they're stateside, wherever they are, Lord, there are dangers in every aspect of it. And, Father, we ask for your protection over them as they serve. And, Lord, I pray for the families. Lord, would you just be in the midst of all of those families, Lord? Be the glue that holds them together, Father, and draw them closely to your side, Father, and bless them in a mighty, mighty way. And we ask it all in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Eric, for being with us today. It's been a privilege to have Eric Horner, the director of Eric Horner Ministries. Please pray much for the wonderful work that they do, the outreach they have to our military. I want to invite you to turn your attention with us to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And over the last several days, one of the topics we've been talking about is helping to prepare our children and prepare us as parents and grandparents as well for this new school year. And of course, one of the things we're encouraging every parent to do is to teach and train and encourage your children to pray. To pray much for themselves, to pray for one another, to pray for your siblings. Pray for your schoolmates, your classmates. Pray for your school. Pray for your teachers. And keep in mind, parents, our children can pray themselves as well. Now, we should pray a lot for our children. But dads and moms, we need to teach our children to pray as well. We need to teach our children every day, pray for your school. Every day, pray for your teacher. Every day, pray for the Spirit of God to be at work in your school. These are things children can do as well. And the prayers of children can go a long, long, long way. So parents, let's never underestimate the importance of us teaching and training our children to pray, obviously for themselves, for one another, and for their schools. And of course, we're speaking of young children, you know, elementary age, obviously, middle school, high school, and of course, obviously, when our children go to college as well, teaching them to pray for their college and universities, and pray for the campuses, that's very, very important then. So us teaching and training them to pray is very, very important. I'm going to take a moment for us to pray the Ten Commandments, and then we're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1. And again, our goal in doing that is continuing to remind and encourage you, parents, as teach and train our children to pray the Ten Commandments every single day, and then to pray them over their school as well. And, of course, we'll both share and teach you how to do that too. Lord, thank you for this day. Help us, Lord, today to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us, Lord, to tell the truth. Help us, Lord, to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord, also for the children of our children's school. Lord, help the children, help all the people there to put you first. Help them all, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help them all, Lord, to make no graven images. Help them all, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help them, Lord, to honor their fathers and their mothers. Lord, help all these individuals to not steal. Help them to not kill. Help them to not commit adultery. Help them to tell the truth. Help them to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So again, that's a way to both teach and train our children to pray the Ten Commandments every day, but also we can teach them to pray it on behalf of the other individuals that are part of their school, because remember, again, our prayers go a long way as we pray in line with God's precious word. I want to encourage every parent listening, help your children to pray that prayer every single day. And remember, it takes all of maybe a minute and 15 seconds to pray the Ten Commandments. Not long at all. But remember, it's very, very fruitful in the life of your child for them to pray it every single day. Every day they pray it, God will answer it. So help and encourage them to pray it every single day. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Verses 1 through 18, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, again, as we continue to share with you, parents, important ways for us to prepare our children spiritually for this new school year, I want to encourage you to make this important goal a goal for the whole year for you and your children. I want to encourage you to help your children to listen to God. Ways to help your children to listen to God. So for the balance of the broadcast, that's what we'll be talking about, helping your children learn how to listen to God. Now, keep in mind, one of the greatest ways whereby your children and all of us can listen to God is by reading and hearing God's Word. Remember, as we read God's Word, we're hearing the voice of God. We're literally hearing the voice of God when you read God's Word. So you might say, well, what does God's voice sound like? Well, it depends on who's reading. Because if you're reading the Word of God with your voice, God's voice on that day is going to sound just like you. And if your child is reading the Word of God out loud, God's voice is going to sound like your child. Why? Because God's Word is the voice of God. And whoever's reading on that, in that instance, that's what God's voice sounds like. But the important thing is listening. When you read the Word of God, you're hearing the voice of God. You're hearing the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, the blessing of God. And parents, when you have your children read the Word of God out loud, they are hearing the voice of God as well. And remember, God's Word pours grace, peace, mercy, joy, strength, and encouragement into the mind and the heart of whoever's listening to it. And remember this, reading is always good because just simply listening to the Word of God being read is good, but reading it, I think in many ways, is so much better because you engage your entire being when you read the Word of God. You're engaging your faculties, and you have to concentrate on, obviously, reading the Word of God out loud. And so you hear yourself, and you're listening to yourself read God's Word as well. So I would encourage you, listen to the Word of God on a daily basis as well, but don't ever let anything replace the reading of God's Word yourself, because nothing will replace the reading of God's Word in your own life. Parents, that's true for your children as well. When they read God's Word, it engages their entire being. And remember this, when you're reading the Word of God, it's as if God is putting his hand on your shoulder. And when God touches you, he does many good things. He's pouring grace, peace, joy, strength, and encouragement, as we spoke of, into your life. You need that. I need that. Our children need that as well. So if we'll make time to help our children, like even if it's just a few moments, reading the Word out loud before they leave to go to school in the morning, that's a wise thing to do, to put the Word of God in the minds of your children before they leave. But also, every parent listening, I would encourage you to make it your goal, whether it's in the morning or in the evening or whatever time works for you, have them to read the word out loud to you. I like to encourage a goal of reading 3 chapters a day. And again, I would encourage you, if you don't have an easy reading Bible, a translation that's very easy to understand, I would encourage you to get one. I myself, I really like to use the New King James Version translation. It's very similar to King James, but it's a little bit easier to read and a little bit more fluid to read as well. And I think it's a little more understandable for both adults and children as well. But there are a number of other great translations out there. I like to also read the New Living Translation. It's a very easy-to-read translation of the Word of God. There are many good translations out there. And, of course, King James is a wonderful translation itself. It's simply Old English, and we don't quite speak Old English these days. But it, too, if you prefer to do that, if that's the one you want to stick with, as Dr. Woodrow Kroll said, he said, the best translation is the one you're going to read. So I would encourage you to do that on a daily basis. Have your children to read 3 chapters out loud to you. It'll bless them and it'll bless you as well. And so also it's going to pour grace and strength and encouragement into them. And remember, God's word is many things. And it's always good to note that God's word is pregnant with the ability to bless us. When you're reading his word, when you're listening to God's word, it's just going to minister to your mind, body, and spirit. It's going to bless you in many, many ways. But also, I would encourage your parents, in addition to having your children read the word out loud, buy or invest in an audio Bible, some form of audio scripture, whether they're CDs or whether you can have the Bible on an MP3 player or a means of playing it out loud at home while the children are getting ready in the morning, while you're riding in your vehicle on the way to school, coming back from school, or just riding to going on a destination, just listen to the word as you're riding. There are many ways to get the Word of God more and more into our children's minds and hearts. I would encourage every parent listening, invest in some form of audio Bible that you can listen to on a daily basis. Again, early in the morning is a great time when everyone's getting ready for school or work. Everybody can just listen out loud as it plays out loud. Also listening to it in the evening when you're doing other things as well. Maybe chores around the house or things that have to be done. Just listening to it. That's good for you. It's good for your children as well. I recall just a very fond memory I have of having many years ago when folks used audio cassettes. I had a cassette of the Book of Proverbs, and it was an easy reading cassette of the Book of Proverbs. And there was one particular proverb that said, do you like honey? Don't eat too much of it or it'll make you sick. And I remember my children at a very young age, they remembered that when they thought it was funny to listen to, and they'd often quote it, do you like honey? Don't eat too much of it or it'll make you sick. But they learned many of the proverbs as they just listened to them as we were doing other things at home. Parents, invest in an audio Bible that will bless and encourage them as they're doing other things. A lot of God's word can go into the mind and the heart of our children as they're, again, getting ready for the school, riding to school, or just going other places. Lots of ways to invest more of the word in their lives that way. Lord, thank you for the chance for us to help our children to read and meditate and to draw on the strength that comes from your word. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so much good that happens when we help our children plant the word of God in their minds and their hearts. So much encouragement, so much grace, so much spiritual growth will happen, so much spiritual development will take place in the lives of our children as they make time to get into your word. Lord, help us to always, always, always make it a high priority to teach, to train, to guide, to encourage our children every day to open up your word and spend time one-on-one with you as they read and meditate on it. And help us to be wise enough as parents to model that before our children as well. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud got to say that I am not an African American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Believers sometimes hide their hurts from fellow Christians because they're afraid of being judged or rejected. But Dr. Tony Evans says the church needs to be the safest place to seek encouragement and support. He uses an illustration from his son's football days as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When Jonathan was playing for Baylor, there was always cheerleaders. It's 40-0, and they just, what are you cheering about? The other team just scored, and you got pom-poms going. The job of a cheerleader is, in spite of how bad things are going on the field, is to support the team in their struggle. We don't need folks on the side saying, you no good playing people. You need somebody who on your worst day is still on your side. They are for you, even if they're not for your performance. The greatest cheerleaders should be found in the house of God. Not because they agree necessarily with the performance, but because they are supporting the person, because we want to see you reverse the score, change the scenario, move the momentum. We want to see a change. And so there ought to be somebody who's cheering. That's what encouragement does. Encouragement is from the Greek word that means to come alongside to help, strengthen, or support. So there must be in our church, any church, a system at work where believers are encouraging other believers to keep going even when they don't feel like it, because only by drawing near do you draw near not only to the Lord, but to the promise. That is God's fulfillment of his purpose in your life.
Learn more about how churches can reach their communities by clicking the Adopt a School link at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life for now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me. Love me.
searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all. He wants it all.
Amen. Praise God. The music of Forever Jones, the song He Wants It All. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. In this latter part of the broadcast, we're looking at the topic of helping our children listen to God. And of course, one of the main ways whereby we help our children listen to God is by helping them to read and learn how to read and meditate on God's Word on a regular basis, starting or helping them to establish habits around reading God's Word every day. And again, parents, we're wise to have our children regularly come into the living room or the kitchen, sit down, and just simply read 3 chapters out loud to us. And as we do that, it'll bless them and encourage them. Sometimes they may do it gladly. Sometimes they'll do it because they're told to do. But the fact is still, getting the Word of God into them is very, very important. So I would encourage you to do that. And also, along with having them to read God's Word out loud, it's wise to ask them sometimes, for example, to either state or to write down 2 or 3 questions from a given chapter after they read it, because it helps them to think a little bit more through what they've read, to really write out a question or two that comes from the chapter they've just read. I'm going to take a moment now. I want to read from Genesis chapter 1. That's a powerful chapter to have your children read. And of course, it's the story of creation, and it's a very touching story, but a powerful story reminding us of the omnipotence of God, the all-powerful Heavenly Father, who is our Heavenly Father. Also, the omnipresence of God, God's everywhere. The omniscience of God, God knows everything. And it teaches us so much more. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed, according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Verses 1 through 31, all of Genesis chapter 1. So keep in mind, again, dads and moms listening, remember, when you have your child to read a chapter like that out loud in the Word of God, a number of pretty powerful things will take place. Number one is, God has built-in curiosity in the heart, in the mind of a child. And most any child, as they begin to read that, they have all kinds of questions that will come up in their heart and their mind about God and the bigness of God. But at the same time, the chapter answers a lot of questions as well. It lets our children know where we came from. We were created by God. We were all created by God. All animals, all creatures were created by God. The earth was created by God. And our children can read for themselves where we came from. Now, a question that may immediately come up in your mind is, well, doesn't that contradict some of the things they learn at school? Tragically, yes, it does. But we need to teach our children God's word is truth. And when people try to teach them otherwise, they need to go back and remember God's word is what's true and reliable and accurate. Genuine facts, genuine truth flows from the Word of God. And so as we let our children read that and we talk to them about it, we came from God. We didn't descend from monkeys or apes or anything like that. We were created by God, created in his image, and we were created, as the scripture says, male and female. And there were only two genders, male and female, nothing else. God's word answers all these kinds of issues, these concerns. And remember, God's word is what you can rely upon. God's word is truth. So having our children to both inviting them to ask questions and asking them to come up with two or three questions from any given chapter is a wise thing for us as parents to do for each and every one of our children. Also, it's a wise thing to pray about the things that you find in the chapter in the Bible as well. To thank God for his goodness, his grace, to thank him for the creation that he created. And so, again, these are ways whereby our children will grow spiritually, but also they will draw closer to God and grow in their knowledge of God and the way God does and has and does things in their lives as well. So praying about the things you find in a chapter is a good thing to do as well. Let's take time even now to do that. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your wonderful creation. Thank you, Father, for creating the sun and the moon and the stars. Thank you for creating planet Earth, but thank you for creating all the other planets you made as well. Father, you're such a big God. You're a great God. You are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being the wonderful Heavenly Father that you are to each and every one of us. And Lord, thank you for creating us, men and women created in your image. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you made us male and female and help us to glorify you in that. And Lord, help us to always seek to be that which you've created us to be. Help us to live in such a way that we never desire to change what you have ordained and established. Help us to be mindful of the fact that what you have ordained is what works, it's what's most important, and it's what will bring fulfillment. Thank you again, Father, for all the creatures you created, the cattle that walk the earth, and the birds, the squirrels, the fish, all the animals in the world. Thank you for the wonder of the animals, all the creatures in the sea and the creatures that roam the earth, even the bugs that crawl on the ground, Lord, all of these are part of your wonderful, wonderful creation. Lord, help us to always live in wonder as we look at the powerful and wonderful picture of all that you created in this wonderful, wonderful world. And Father, help us as parents to be wise in teaching and training our children about what your word says as opposed to what the world would say as well. Help us to be wise enough to teach them to read your word and to recognize it as being the truth, and to recognize that your word is what will help us to know the way things really are and the way things really function and the way things really are to be lived out. Thank you for that opportunity. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, reading through a chapter with our children, having them to read it out loud, and then asking them to write down two or three questions from a chapter. That's a smart and a wise way to help them grow in their walk with God. And let me remind you, too, again, having our children read is so important. And remember, God's word is such a gift. It's such a blessing. God's word is pregnant with the ability to bless us. So when we read it, it blesses us in many ways far beyond what we may understand. So parents, when we have our children read God's word, it'll bless them tremendously as well. Let me remind you that we often like to share, again, seven things you can do with God's word every single day. You can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. All of them are important. None of them are quite the same thing, because you can read God's word but not really hear it. You can read God's word and not choose to obey it. You can pray the word of God but not necessarily speak the word of God on a regular basis. All of them are weapons and ways to use God's word, things that we do as we take God's word and use them. It'll bless our lives as well. Let's daily, dads and moms, help use the word, and let's daily teach and train our children to put the word of God to work in all these wonderful ways as well. Father, once again, thank you for the opportunity for us to help our children learn to listen to your voice, to listen to your word and your spirit better and better every day. Father, help us in this new school year to be faithful, to help our children get into your word every single day, to teach and train them to do that. And help us to be good role models, to show them why it's important to read your word and follow it every day. Help us to be good role models, not only as dads and moms, but also as granddads and grandmoms, and also as aunts and uncles, and just children that we have the opportunity to, whose lives we have a chance to touch in some way or another. Help us to walk daily so that we're good role models before them, pointing them to Jesus Christ, living in such a way that they can see Jesus in our words, our actions, the things we say, the things we do. Thank you for that opportunity. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining us today. We've been looking at the topic of how to help your children listen to God. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.